What is life?
The definition of life is a floating, moving target.
Is life more than just this physical existence?
Is it worth it to extend my life, just a life?
What does it mean to really be pro-life?
I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Right here, right now. Welcome to Life Right Now Radio, the show where we are all about finding new ways to live out our pro-life. And what an awesome thing that really can be right here and right now. Rebecca Maxwell, your host, and right beside me, Tim Overland, the guest host or do we have a title for you?
No title.
Well, you're our friend.
Thank you.
Pretty much the reason that we're sitting here behind the microphone. I'm trying to find a way to condense that without too many hyphens.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to work. So.
But Tim Overland is with us today.
I am here. Hello.
We are pretty excited. Things have actually been heating up, and that's not a pun just because it's summer. But we've got an awful lot going on here back at the studio, but also with our new organization, Personhood Iowa. And we're going to talk just a little bit about that here in a couple of minutes. We also have a guest I'm very excited about, a lady that whose work I've been following for several years now. And her name, which will be familiar to many of you, is Abby Johnson. She's a former Planned Parenthood worker, in fact, a clinic director. Mm-hmm. And she had a change of heart several years back now, and she's been fighting on the front lines of the battle for life. So you've probably seen her writing, you've seen her story. She's going to come and share with us directly from her in her own words. And but she's also reaching out to other of her former colleagues, people in the abortion industry, working in the clinics. How do you leave that lifestyle and that livelihood? How do you make that transition? Even if you want to, there's a lot of obstacles there. Well, she has an organization that steps in, that reaches into that gap and ministers to people who want to leave the abortion industry. It's called And Then There Were None. It's incredibly fascinating, unique, and very necessary, I think. And we're going to talk to her all about that. I'm really excited. We've got a great show. I'm absolutely certain coming up.
She's a new mom.
She's also a new mom. She has a new baby at home.
I believe maybe number 5, I think.
Yes, I know that they've got a full and a happy house.
Yes.
And I know they've got a busy house. So I'm really glad that she was able to make some time mm-hmm. for us today. But you are a really busy guy right now lately, Tim, because you're helping to run this crazy, you know,
adventure. I do know my title for that.
That we have called Personhood Iowa. Mm-hmm. And your title is?
Executive Director
of Personhood Iowa.
We were just talking about having to remake cards.
Yes.
So we jumped the gun a little bit on printing the first ones, but it's fine.
We should just make business cards with like a dry erase portion down at the bottom so that we could change things. And it'd be, I think, really cool and modern.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm sure that'd be awesome.
And expensive.
Right.
But business cards notwithstanding and titles notwithstanding, there's a lot of great work that I'm really excited is going on in Iowa, and we want to help expand that and reach out to maybe people who haven't been involved in organizations mm-hmm. before, because the way we're approaching this is sort of ground up, grassroots, you in your churches, in your pews, in your community. And I had a couple of questions actually about that, because I thought it would be good to describe a little bit more of our vision mm-hmm. here on the show. I was in a Bible study actually earlier this week, and I was talking about some of the things that we were doing or looking to do at Personhood Iowa, and a couple of ladies were very excited about that. They're like, okay, well, how do we sign up? What do we do? And what does that look like? So I thought that would actually be good for our audience to understand, because we're talking about something that is going to be structured very differently. And also, it presents a unique focus, I think an independent, like I said, because it's coming from the ground up, from y'all mm-hmm. out listening to this now. So why don't we go over that? If you had a couple of ladies from my Bible study come up
sure.
to you and say, all right, Tim, well, we are passionate about this. What can we do? How do we sign up? Where do we start?
First thing that kind of comes to mind, we had our launch a few weeks ago here, and we had cards that we had some people fill out at the end, gave us all their vitals and all that kind of stuff. But then a couple of different ways they could help. And the three questions are, how can I help? And it's either I want to volunteer, I'd like to start an affiliate, and I'll explain what that means in a minute, or of course the financial resources, mm-hmm. you can support with your resources. And I know all of that involves resources that I just talked about of different kinds, but we're talking about financial. One of the things that I want to say about Personhood Iowa that we're going to do that is different, and I was excited about our board meeting we had here a couple weeks ago, that we're running this really lean, mm-hmm. really lean. So, we need to cover rent and some of those kind of things. But for the most part, we want to be working with what we're going to call preferred partners, we think. And we want to be directing that money to those organizations. Do we want to be able to do a lot of things? And there may be some individual one-off projects that we may look for some specific funding for. But really, all we're really looking for is just help us keep the lights on, help us make it so I can go out around the state and meet with affiliates and that kind of thing. So really, I guess, long answer, shorten it back up. We're looking for volunteers, whether it's with us or with affiliates once those get started, mm-hmm. Leading an affiliate or money.
Okay, well, let's figure out what an affiliate is.
Okay.
Because I think in this instance, in this scenario, a couple of ladies from your Bible study or, maybe in your youth ministry, you've got some teens that are really passionate about mm-hmm. that, and they want to start a Personhood Iowa affiliate. What does that mean?
And maybe your church already has a small, maybe a group that does, mm-hmm. that's
right.
involved
some churches
with,
do.
Yep, then maybe you're involved with a pregnancy center or you do some volunteer work for Ruth Harbor or something of that
Which
nature.
Which is awesome, by the
that's
way.
That's great. We don't want to replace that.
We want to replicate that yes. across the state in every church.
Yep, absolutely. So what an affiliate would be is either a single church, a group of churches, maybe a small town, a region, a part of, like in Des Moines, let's say the South Side or something. If we've got a group of small churches. Mm-hmm. So what an affiliate would be its own entity, would report to us to an extent. But the idea is, most importantly, is that there are projects that each affiliate is doing. And that can look like a lot of things. Maybe, like I said, you're already doing a diaper drive or a lot of churches I know do the bottle drives, where you fill it up with change between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are already doing that. But maybe there's some other things outside of that you can do that you've never thought of. And that's why we want to network and do that, is because there's a lot of these guys are doing different things. Last week, we had the guys from Walnut Creek on, and they came up with this mustache that matters things. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? How cool would that be to grow all over the state
yeah.
and have something like that going on? And that was raising money for adoption because they're so invested in that. Maybe it's something as simple as there's a family in your church that's got a young teen mom and you just need to kind of take her under your wings. Maybe we need to start a Young Lives organization in church. So what the vision would be is to have two or three or four ongoing projects in your affiliate that you take ownership. You would be your own entity, again, with guidance from us at a state level, and then we would provide support from the state level. So whether that's bringing in speakers, helping put on regional events, but the main thing is kind of being a central hub is what we want to see Personhood Iowa be. So the affiliate would do that, and then we would have projects on a statewide level that we would ask you to plug into.
Well, that sounds pretty ambitious, Tim.
Yes,
I'm finding this.
Yes. So let's simplify that a little bit. We'll come and speak to your pastors, your small group, whoever, just get us in touch with those guys. As we've said from the beginning, we don't want to put anything extra on the pastor's plates, because we know whether you've got a small church or a massive church, they're busy, mm-hmm. because they're the head of this organization. So we want to help take some things off of their plate and let's get these affiliates to do that and do what we're called to do, and that's loving our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Well, my family's Scottish, and they have a Scottish proverb that says, "Many hands make light work." So what we need to do, I think, as a movement, and really the whole point of the show and the focus, in case you haven't noticed, there's like this running theme, and that's intentional, because we truly believe that the way to change politics, for example, the way to change law and policy when it comes to the heinous scourge of murder for money, which is what we're talking about in the abortion industry, or when we're talking about using up human life through euthanasia or mm-hmm. through all sorts of other means, and just the careless disregarding and devaluing of life. Laws can only fix a certain part of that. It doesn't fix the heart. It only states this is a standard and we acknowledge that truth. What changes laws are changed hearts in our country, are the people that demand we will have laws that represent this value and we know that life is valuable, so our laws will protect that. And what changes that culture is the church. Is God's people stepping up and acting like God's people and being what we say we believe. So basically all intrinsic through all of our new organization is going to be that theme. We need to be what we say we believe. We need to live out our pro-life for everybody, no matter how small, you know, from our very beginning all the way until the Lord calls us home. And so I'm really excited about that focus specifically. It will look different in different churches all across the state. That is a good thing because, you know, there is a lot of work to be done, and I think that done from this perspective, God will bless that effort. And it's also a very uniting type of thing. If somebody else wants to work on a different aspect of that, that's fine. You know, more power to them. If you want to focus on stopping the scourge of human trafficking and protecting our girls, not only here in Iowa or even boys, all of our children here in Iowa or across the world, and you want to focus on that, that's an absolutely a way to dignify the human person and uphold God's mission there. So there's a lot of different ways that we can go about this. And I'm excited to see what it's all going to look like.
Well, and I think to your point, this makes it more long lasting and more permanent.
Yes.
You know, we can if we get a law changed, we get the law changed, it can change again the next time the other guys are in charge. So we want to.
And sometimes it doesn't even matter what the law says, because we just do whatever we want to do anyway.
Yeah. So this is about supporting the people that we send to represent us. And if we're sending people who don't have that background, you know, cynically, you could say spine. I don't want to maybe go that far in some cases.
Or may not know how to apply their belief system in a legal context, because we're kind of told that we're not allowed to do that and to interact in the public sphere. We're here to blow that up.
Yep. Let's make it unnecessary. Yes. If we make it unnecessary, you know how easy it is to make something illegal if the numbers have plummeted to nothing?
Right.
You know, that's what we're called to do as a church, is to do that. We've abdicated our responsibility in too many situations. This is us saying enough. This is what we have to do. And we think this is a pretty simple model. Mm-hmm. As you said, Rebecca, there's going to be some work involved. We're going to try to make that as easy as possible. But, you know, what's more fulfilling doing something like this? And as we said last week with the mustache doesn't matter, we're going to have some fun doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no reason not to. And you know, with Abby coming up as our guest and a lot of the people we talk to, I think you get that it's not this. We are changing the way to look at this battle, and I think this is the way to do it.
Absolutely. New strategies, new generation, new whole new paradigm into how we look at things. That's where I think the day will ultimately be won. So if people are interested in signing up for this new adventure in protecting all people here in the state of Iowa, the easiest way to do that is probably through the website, right,
Yeah,
Tim?
If they just go to personhoodiowa.com. I just did some updates yesterday. Didn't have our mailing address on there for some reason. So there's a mailing address there. You know, you think, oh, it's just email. Everybody will email me. I've been reaching back out to some of the folks at our launch. Yeah, I was looking for a mailing address. Let me get that put up there.
Okay.
So that's up there now.
That
so
works.
There's always.
I don't care if you call us by carrier pigeon. We're good.
Always to contact us. Go to the website, personhoodiowa.com. Facebook as well. We're on there. Please spread that. You can go watch the videos from our event if you weren't able to come. Share those out there, because there was such good material, I think, that was out there. So that's the way to get in touch with us for sure.
And as Tim just mentioned, I can't wait any longer. We've got to take a quick break. But when we come back, Abby Johnson will join us, and she's going to discuss her story and also her ministry reaching out to workers in abortion clinics who want to leave that industry. You're going to find out all about it when she joins us next. You're listening to Life Right Now Radio.
Pro-life. What is it?
Is it merely to believe that every human being, every single human being has dignity and an incalculable value? What does it mean to really be pro-life? Is it a state of mind? Is it merely being brought to tears at the thought of an innocent child being disposed of, like damaged property? What does it mean to be pro-life? Is it a commitment to activism? Is it merely going outside an abortionist's office, praying and providing counseling to young women? What does it mean to be pro-life? Is it a political question? Is it merely voting for the right candidate, picking the right judge, voting for the right party? Is it a religious question? Is it merely going to church, worshiping the Lord, praying for aid and comfort for the needy? Is it a moral question? Is it merely to do what is right, to do what is written on our hearts and do it now? Is it a scientific question? Is it only about our understanding of human physiology, facts, and figures? What does it mean to be pro-life? Truly pro-life? To be pro-life means all of these things, and more. To be pro-life is not to give up, not lower our standards, and not settle for the protection of just some. Not be afraid of defeat, of the future, of death. To be pro-life means to live for others and get off the couch right now to bring the church to the streets, bring the streets to the polling place, and bring healing to our world. What does it mean to be pro-life today? Well, I can sum that up for you in just one word.
Personhood, fighting for the value and dignity of every human life. Visit personhoodusa.com.
Hello and welcome back to Life Right Now Radio, the show where we're all about living out our pro-life. Right here and right now, Rebecca Maxwell, your host and guest hosting, Tim Overland. Hey there, Tim.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you today?
I am doing well.
Good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear that you were still okay from like 10 minutes ago when we asked you that question last. Also with us, a lady that I am very pleased and privileged to present to you today, to actually get to speak with her in person. It's a name that many of you probably know because she has a very powerful story and also a very unique and very necessary ministry. Abby Johnson is with us today, and she works with And Then There Were None. I believe she's the president, founder of that organization, and we're going to find out all about her story today. Hi there, Abby.
Hi.
I'm so glad you could join us. I know you're busy at home with a new little one.
Yeah, no, it's good to be here with you.
Well, we appreciate your time, and I know, as I mentioned, that many of our audience is probably somewhat familiar with your name because you have been a warrior basically on the front lines of the pro-life movement for several years now, but your story, it's interesting how you arrived where you are today, and if you wouldn't mind, just take us through a little bit of your story.
Sure. I worked for Planned Parenthood for 8 years. I was the clinic director there. I ran an abortion program and what they call a family planning program. I left in 2009. I have to think about that a minute. October 2009, after witnessing a live ultrasound-guided abortion procedure. You know, that's something that's not really common inside the abortion industry to actually use the ultrasound during the abortion. But I was asked to go in and was basically given this opportunity as a teaching experience for me. And what I saw was a 13-week-old unborn child fighting for his life on the ultrasound screen. And I knew at that time that I needed to leave. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know, I didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was shocking for me. I knew I didn't want to be a part of abortion anymore, but it was a scary thought, leaving this job that I had been with for a long time with a very lucrative salary. But ultimately I knew that I had to do the right thing. And so I just took a step of faith and left the abortion industry. And about 3 weeks after I left, after I left the industry, I actually contacted the pro-life group in my area, told them my story. And, you know, they had always said that if I wanted to leave and I needed help finding another job, they would help me. And so I took them up on that offer and told them what was going on. And about 3 weeks later, when Planned Parenthood found out that I had actually been, that I had contacted the pro-life group there in the area, they took me to court and tried to silence me so that I would not be able to share my story or, you know, tell the insider things that I knew publicly. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, they actually, Planned Parenthood, sent a media release out to the public, you know, letting them know about my conversion, wow, essentially. And that was kind of what spurred this on. And I started speaking out against Planned Parenthood and talking about my experiences inside the clinic. And then just a couple years ago, founded the Ministry for Clinic Workers.
Well, and that brings us to what the great work that you're doing today with And Then There Were None. What you just went through, as I imagine it would have to be a scary time. It's always scary to be sort of without a job or uncertain of your next step. But moving on faith to something that is so different. And I know that that's what your ministry seeks to help ease people from, you know, following their consciences or following their hearts out of the abortion industry into other work. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like in your organization?
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate because when I left the industry, I mean, I had a strong foundation of faith that I was raised with. I had strayed away from that faith during my time with Planned Parenthood, but I was raised that way. I was raised a Christian. I was raised in church. So, you know, when I felt like God was really pricking my conscience and when he was speaking to my heart, I knew what that was. I knew that it was God. I knew that I needed to take that seriously, and I knew I needed to, I did have the foundation to take that step of faith and to say, I know that God's going to provide for me. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people that work in the abortion industry don't have that foundation of faith. And so for us as, you know, as pro-lifers to look at them and say, well, you should just leave your job. Just trust God. That doesn't compute.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do was to be able to provide practical assistance and also some deeper spiritual assistance to these workers as they make that transition. And so we're able to provide several streams of support. We provide employment help, and that includes we will hire a recruiter for them to get them into a different line of work. They also help with resume writing, interview skills, all different types of things to kind of prep them to find another job. We also do help with financial support. We will help them during that in a very limited way, but we will help. We don't want them to not be able to pay their bills or not be able to pay their rent during that short transition that they're out of a job. And we don't want money to be the reason that people stay in the abortion industry. So to have that, you know, that little bit of help to say, look, you don't have to worry about your rent for this month while you're looking for a job. You know, we can help you with that. That is really good incentive for them to go ahead and take that step of faith and leave and start working full-time on getting another job. Mm-hmm. We also provide legal assistance for them. You know, the abortion industry is, they don't love our ministry. And so they are very threatened by our ministry, and we have had several cases where we've had to have attorneys step in and send a cease and desist letter. We've never had to go further than that because once the abortion industry knows that these former workers are represented legally, they generally back off. They don't want to be embarrassed again in court. like they were with me. So, so we've had actually 3,000 attorneys, pro-life attorneys, step forward and say, from every state, and say, you know, we're willing to represent these clients pro bono if they run into any legal issues, which is great. Then we also help them emotionally. We, you know, we can provide professional counseling for them. We can get them into professional counseling, Christian counseling centers. And then we also provide healing retreats. So similar to, you know, like a Rachel's Vineyard or Project Rachel or something like that, we provide those same sorts of retreats, but they're specifically for abortion clinic workers and the issues that they're dealing with as they leave. And we provide spiritual support for them. We haven't ever had a worker leave that just said, you know, I decided abortion was wrong, but I'm a hardcore atheist. When they leave the industry, when they feel this conversion of heart beginning to take place, they know that it's God. They don't have, you know, most of them don't have that kind of foundation. They don't have a strong faith. They don't even really know what that means, or, but they know that it is something, there is some sort of spiritual work going on inside of them. And so we want to be able to plug them in with, you know, a local church. We feel like that's really important. We plug them in with local pro-lifers who just want to be their friend, who just want to genuinely care for them and develop a relationship with them. And we get them in contact with some clergy member in their area who is, you know, pro-life, supportive of what they're doing, and can provide, you know, whether it's weekly or twice a week or every other week, some sort of spiritual guidance, counseling help for them as they transition through this. And that's, you know, that's basically our program. It's, we feel like it's pretty comprehensive, and we've been very successful. In the past 2 years, we've had 121 workers leave the industry and come through our program, and it's just been really awesome to see what God has done.
Absolutely. And I advise anyone who is interested at all, and if you're not interested, what's wrong with you? You should be, to check out the work that you're doing. You can easily catch up with them on Facebook. You're always posting in updates, typically very encouraging updates from your work and your ministry. Follow Abby Johnson, who is our guest today, and she is the head of And Then There Were None Ministries. And something that you mentioned sort of triggered a question in my mind, Abby. I hear people, I've been sort of on the pro-life side of the argument for a long time. I was raised in a household that was very strong in Christian conviction, so we knew what we believed on that score. And I've seen just about every type of pro-life activism that there is, and some of which seems to be more successful than others. But there is a conflict in our minds about the people that work in the abortion industry, in the abortion clinics, actually performing those abortions. And I think it's easy for us to form this dichotomy where they're the enemy, where people that do what you used to do are the enemy, the big bad that we're fighting. And as a Christian perspective, I mean, you know that that's not entirely true, that Jesus died for us as well as for them as well. So how is it that we as a pro-life community can serve? Are there ways that we can live out our pro-life that is helpful, not only to stand up against the evil that is abortion and to say, no, this is wrong, this shouldn't go on, but also to reach out in love to the people that are performing these evil and wrong actions?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, when I started And Then There Were None, I basically thought, okay, we've been fighting this battle legally for, at that time, you know, 40 years. Surely there is a national outreach specifically to abortion clinic workers and to their healing. And so I wanted to join up with that group and help and provide assistance and do whatever. So as I was looking, I realized that there actually was not. And I started to think about that. I was thinking, why is that? And then I realized, well, it's because we have been looking at them as the enemy, and we don't want to help our enemy. We want to vilify them, and we want to demonize them. And instead of looking at them as our brothers and sisters who Christ created to be with him, to be in communion with him, instead of looking at it that way, we are ostracizing them and fitting into the stereotype that they believe us to be. And so it was, you know, honestly, you know, when we first got started, it was a tough sell. And even to pro-lifers, but to say, hey, we're coming in and we're, you know, we're going to help these abortion clinic workers. People are like, I don't care about abortion clinic workers. Wow. Like, I don't want to help them. And I was so naive. I mean, I was just really shocked, I guess. I thought, wow, what? You know, people that love my story and embrace me, but then at the same time don't want to help anybody else that's in the industry. So, yeah, I think that that was definitely right. We see a softening, though. I think the more we talk about it, the more that we're able to put stories out about these workers to show that, look, they're just misguided sinners. Like all of us, you know, they sin, they just sin a little differently than we do. And, you know, Jesus came for them too. And so, and really what I believe, I mean, I believe that these former abortion clinic workers can't, I think that they could, and I think they will be ultimately the demise of the abortion industry, of legalized abortion in the United States, because they're coming out with a perspective that nobody's ever had in the pro-life movement before. You know, somebody that actually worked inside the industry, somebody who saw the corruption, you know, the fraud, the malpractice, the negligence. And these workers, many of them are willing to expose that publicly. And that's something that, I mean, we've had so many people who would consider themselves pro-choice people contact us and say, I always considered myself pro-choice, but I'm reading the stories from these former workers, and I'm really starting to question that. You know, it seems like it's not really about women. And so, I always encourage people. We really partner with 40 Days for Life and other sidewalk counseling groups that are out there and, you know, maintaining peaceful vigil, because they are our greatest allies in reaching these workers. So a lot of times people, sidewalk counselors, are really nervous about talking to workers, understandably, because they're not always the nicest people to converse with. but that might be the understatement of the year. But but we still have to reach out to them to let them know that there is a way out, that this ministry does exist, that we're there because we care about them too, that we're not just there because we're pro-baby, right, but because we are pro-life, and that extends to caring about their lives and their eternal lives. And so we, on our website, abortionworker.com, under the resources tab, we have flyers for sidewalk counselors that you can print out. We have a frequently asked questions, just, you know, oh my gosh, a worker has come to me, what do I do? We address those types of questions and issues there under the resources tab. So we want to be able to be a resource to sidewalk counselors and people that are out there on the front lines, and even pregnancy centers too, because we've had several workers go to pregnancy centers, particularly those that are placed across the street from abortion facilities. And so, you know, we all need to be prepared to have an abortion clinic worker walk in to our doors at any point in time, and we need to have resources available for them.
Well, Abby, I'm excited about your ministry. I think I first heard about it. I'm not like Rebecca, where I was holding a sign at five. I'm kind of new to this, but I think I first heard about your ministry through Joe Baker with Save the Storks, who's one of the, you know, one of these ministries that are on the front lines too. And I'm excited about listening to some of the things you were talking about. One of our taglines on our show is, you know, that we're trying to break through the sound bites and the stereotypes. And, you know, I talk on my show or on this show a lot about my brother, who doesn't agree with anything I say, but he's kind of a mirror for me, and he shows me what the other people think of us, and are we really doing a good job of spreading that message? And what I was listening to you say, and you kind of answered some of the questions before I could ask them. You know, we've got a Restored by Grace that we have on our show that's a post-abortive counseling. And I think those, you know, I think this is a paradigm shift. It's, you know, it always has been. Where does the stereotype come from that we only care about the baby before it's born? It's probably because we come across that way and there's some truth to it. So I think your ministry, you know, these post-abortive counseling groups, you know, those type of things, I think that's a big change. You know, while I know that that's how we're approaching it here in Iowa with Personhood Iowa, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person and working with National Pro-Life Alliance or Personhood Alliance. And you know, I think it's a major paradigm shift from, you know, there's more people involved here. There's been a lot of women involved in abortions that we need to love. And why wouldn't we extend that to these workers? You know, as you said, because it's the picture of, you know, what Christ did for us.
Yeah, and you're right. It is absolutely a paradigm shift, and those types of shifts take a long time.
Yes, I noticed that.
So, you know, I didn't, you know, I mean, like I said, I was naive when I first started all of this, so I thought, everybody's going to love this ministry. Everybody's just going to get totally on board, and everybody's just going to love these clinic workers right out of the facility. That, you know, that didn't happen initially, but it is starting to happen. And I think that people are starting to see that these are our brothers and sisters, not just the babies, they are too, mm-hmm. but these workers are, the abortionists are, even the abortionists, which is really hard for people to wrap mm-hmm. their minds around mm-hmm. because, you know, some of these abortionists come out with these, you know, terrible sound bites, and they say these awful things.
Well, let's be honest.
The only thing
let's be honest. Dr. Carhart, for example, is not this real huggable figure, you know, but
or that's Kermit Gosnell.
Or a Gosnell or somebody like
that. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
That's tough.
Yeah. And they, you know, and they do it to themselves, right? I mean, but it's for shock value, and they're really trying to, they really try to rile up the pro-life movement, and they do a good job of it, and we, you know, fall for it every time. But yeah, I mean, but I you know, the only thing I can say is I'm glad there wasn't like a hidden camera on me when I worked in the abortion industry mm-hmm. because there's no telling, you know, the type of like gallows humor that came out of my mouth or the things that I said that now I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe I said that, you know? Mm-hmm. Only a crazy person would say that. And that, but that was me, you know, and now I'm, you know, somebody who's active in the pro-life movement. So I just tell them, you just can't count anybody out. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus is not counting any of us out. And this is what he wants. I mean, he wants us to be with him. He wants people to come back to him. That's mm-hmm. what he wants. He doesn't want people to go to hell. I mean, he doesn't want, I mean, that's what, you know, I'm just so ashamed of the things I see on social media from people who are Christian pro-lifers who, you know, when something comes out about an abortionist or an abortion clinic worker and they're saying things like, oh, I hope they rot in hell or something mm-hmm. like that. I'm thinking, really? Because Jesus doesn't hope that.
Yeah.
And we should really strive to have the heart and mind of Christ. And, you know, it's normal to feel anger when we see things like, you know, what happened in the Gosnell trial. But I can tell you, we have a couple of workers from Gosnell's clinic who are now out of prison who are part of our ministry and, you know, are going through a very intensive healing process, but have totally committed their lives to Christ now. Mm-hmm. And I just think we can't count them out. And that's, you know, conversion is real and it's happening every day. And we have to be there to help pick up the pieces for these wounded people that are coming out.
Amen. And not to mention, and I think every Christian should be able to relate to that story, because we, none of us want to think about who we once were. And the beauty of Christ's forgiveness is that now we don't have to. We are a new creation. And that's entirely due to him, which is amazing. And he deserves the praise for that. But another side benefit, I guess, as you mentioned, is that people who have seen what you have seen, that have your knowledge base and your experience, are some of the most hard-hitting weapons against the abortion industry. And I mean, why? It's fascinating that Planned Parenthood would want to keep somebody like you quiet, right? Because all they're doing is helping women. All they're doing is caring about women's health. Why on earth wouldn't they want people to talk about what it is they actually do inside their clinics or with their outreach? And I think you are doing a great job of exposing much of what really goes on in there. And I can't imagine that much makes them more afraid than several hundred Abby Johnsons running around the country talking about what Planned Parenthood actually does.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, we don't look at these people as, like, informants. You know, we look at them as people who need healing, just like many of us do from our past. But a lot of times for these workers, part of the healing, for me, you know, part of my healing journey was talking publicly about what I had experienced. And I find that I still get healing. You know, there's just a little bit of healing that takes place for me every time I speak publicly about my experience. It's not that way for everybody, but for a lot of these workers, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, they come out and they are just chomping at the bit to tell on the abortion industry, you know, to tell the public, you know, this is what's really going on. And, you know, some of them do so anonymously. Some of them are willing to, you know, to put their name and their face on it. And you know, and some don't want to do that at all. And that's fine too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's, you know, the ones that do want to share their story, you know, it's very hard for the abortion industry to argue with somebody that has that firsthand knowledge.
Right.
And that's, you know, really, I mean, we are trying to expose the industry through this ministry, and you know, we feel like we're doing that.
Abby, I just, and I don't want to take up too much of your time this morning. I, like we said, we know you have a new baby. So, a question just occurred to me, though. One of those stereotypes, or one of those things that are thrown at us, is, you know, me as a guy, I don't have any right to talk about this issue. You know, whether it's, you know, because I can never carry a baby, or whatever the argument they throw out there. But something that occurred to me, and you know, we're talking about you, and we've talked about some of these other ministries are generally led by women. Can you talk a little bit about some of the, you know, whether it's the doctors or some of the guys, you know, because, I mean, they would have a whole different perspective. You know, they sort of shoot that argument in the foot a little bit. But just about, you know, we think of, like I said, we think about a lot of the women. But what about some of the guys that maybe are part of your organization?
Yeah, we actually, I think a lot of people think that our ministry is just 100% full of women. But that's actually not true. We do have quite a few men that have left. It is different for them. It's different when they come out because they, all the ones that have left that have come through our ministry have families. Mm. So they're coming at it from a little different perspective. They have, you know, that heart that Christ has put in them to take care of their families and to be the protectors of their families. It's a real conflict because they feel like in their mind that they need to leave to protect their family, but they don't want to leave, you know, without stable income coming in to protect their family. You know, we do have to work a little differently with the men that come to us. Generally, the men that have come to us have been higher-level employees in the abortion industry. So you're right. I mean, we hear these, you know, until I went to this Planned Parenthood's building a new facility in New Orleans, and and so I went down there to speak. I'm actually from Louisiana, and so I went down there to speak at one of their events, and have been pretty active with that campaign. And there was a guy, seriously, a guy holding a sign, abortion supporting guy holding a sign that said, "No uterus, no opinion." And
please tell me somebody has a picture of that.
I mean, I walked up to him and I'm like, "Seriously, dude? I mean, like, you're a guy, right? Like, you're a man, right?" It's like, yeah. And I'm just thinking, then you don't have an opinion. So why are you holding this sign? You know, but that was actually an opportunity for me to talk to him about the men that do work inside the facility. So I'm like, well, what about those men? They don't have an opinion. I mean, you've got some of this, probably about 50% of the CEOs of Planned Parenthood affiliates are men. Mm-hmm. So what does that say about your sign when there's men that are running these affiliates, you know? And so it is a little different working with them and working with men. They just, you know, God created men and women differently. And so they're not going to come to us so much for emotional needs. Mm-hmm. We know that they have them, but they're not going to be calling me at 2:00 in the morning and saying, "I just had a terrible nightmare, Abby. Can we talk about it? Can we process it?"
Right, right.
You know, whereas the women are, they do that all the time. The men are going to internalize it. And so that's why it's really important. The men are always very open to seeking spiritual counseling. And so, you know, we really want to get them plugged in with a clergy member that they're comfortable with. And so it is different working with them for sure. But we have had men leave and they are, I mean, they're really, some of them are the ones that, some of the anonymous stories that we've put out have actually come from these men. And it's always funny because when I post on my Facebook and, you know, people say, "Oh, you know, God bless her courage."
Well, if anybody's seen that, if you've seen that Mike Huckabee film that's out there, you know, some of those doctors and some of their stories, you know, it's, you know, and obviously the women too. But, you know, like you said, it's a different perspective. And it's fascinating listening to the way their minds kind of connected the dots. That's different than the way you hear some of the ladies, you know, how that comes about for them. So yeah, I was just kind of curious.
And the men don't come out and say, "Well, gosh, I got into this because I really believed in a woman's right to choose," or "because I really thought I was doing the best thing for women." I mean, these men are like, "I got this job because it was a good paying job and it supported my family."
Yep.
I mean, and it had good insurance, so all my kids could be insured, and I had a good 401k. I mean, that's, you know, and it's not until they start seeing what they're really a part of by, you know, joining into that, that then they're like, "Oh my gosh, like I've got to get out of here. What, you know, what was I thinking?" But they're not getting into it. Excuse me, I've sneezed. They're not getting into it because they believe in women's rights or feminism or that's just ridiculous. They're getting into it because they wanted to be able to support their family.
Yeah,
and this was just a job for them. And it was just a job until all of a sudden it wasn't just a job. And then they started looking at what they were actually a part of.
Well, and that's why your organization, And Then There Were None, is right there to help fill in that gap, not only with the more emotional side of things or the spiritual healing, which, of course, is vital, but also with practical assistance and with helping them, as you just mentioned, find another job to be able to provide for their family so that they don't feel stuck in a job that their conscience is compelling them to leave. And if people are interested in helping out with that, I know just recently you had a fairly large number of people leave a clinic all at once. So I know that if people want to help, I'm sure their help would be appreciated at your organization.
Yes.
How can we do that?
You can go to our website, abortionworker.com. You can kind of peruse through there. We have stories of abortion clinic workers, resources for pro-lifers. And there also, there is a donate tab. You know, this is a, it can be an expensive ministry to run, because there is a financial component to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we always say, just as there's, you know, we can't put a price tag on, you know, the life of a child. We can't put a price tag on the eternal lives mm-hmm. of these workers who are coming out. And so we are a 501c3, so all donations are tax deductible. And yeah, we would really welcome any support and even just prayer support. Our next healing retreat is September 19th through the 21st. And, you know, it's a very vulnerable time for the people that come, and it's difficult to take that first step and to say, yeah, okay, I'm going to go on the retreat. But, you know, they're really facing their former sins head on, and mm-hmm. that's difficult. So, you know, prayer support is vital for us, and just, you know, prayer support for those that are contemplating leaving, or those that have left but are still really struggling with their past. We definitely welcome that as well.
Well, we don't know how many people have left the industry in the state of Iowa that, you know, your organization has helped with. Well, we hope either through the radio show and obviously with Personhood Iowa that we can make you really busy in Iowa.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, the great thing is, you know, I'm good friends with Jennifer Bowen, who's the president of Iowa Right to Life, and she is a maniac when it comes to sending in our flyers into the clinic. So, I can tell you confidently, there is not an abortion clinic worker in Iowa that does not know about our ministry.
Oh, well, that's good.
We like to hear that.
Yes.
So, and that's another option for people. If you want to, you know, mail in our flyers that are online, or just mail in something, you know, if the worker's not willing to take the information from you. A lot of times they're told, you know, if you talk to those people, those protesters outside, you'll get fired.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another option. You can mail things in to the clinic, and that's totally legal. And maybe just put a little note on the bottom, you know, we're praying for you, we care about you, something like that. And somebody is going to open that piece of mail. And they were on to us because Jen was sending in a bunch of them, and we had sent her some envelopes with our mailing, our return address on them. Mm-hmm. And they got smart to that. And one clinic, the Emma Golden Clinic, actually started refusing the mail if it had our our return address on it. So we had to. We're smooth.
Work around that.
We had to get tricky and work around that. And
what's that? Sly as a serpent. So, how's that go? Sly as a serpent and
innocent as a dove.
Innocent as a dove. There you go.
Innocent as a dove. Yeah, that's right.
Abby Johnson, a renowned pro-life activist now, who's working from her experience and promoting abortion workers being able to have that new life, that they don't have to stay in the abortion industry. A lady of courage and faith, Abby Johnson, our guest today from And Then There Were None. And I highly advise you check them out. Check out Abby Johnson's writing as well. She has a regular column with our friends at Life News. And of course, any updates that you're going to get from her are going to be helpful and typically very encouraging, or at least I find them so. So I highly recommend that you check out her ministry and help if you can. We'll also link up to it on our Facebook page as well, Life Right Now Radio, so it'll be very easy for you to do so. Abby, thank you so much. You've been generous with your time today. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you.
I highly recommend that you check out all the information online about the ministry And Then There Were None. Abby and her team have, I believe, helped over 120 people leave the abortion industry to find other work and to find emotional and spiritual healing as well. And if this conversation touched your heart, consider helping out their ministry and consider sharing it with a friend. You can get the podcast of this show and all other shows online on our website, liferightnow.net. And it's available on a couple of different platforms now. We'll talk more about that here in the future because I'm running out of time. But until then, as the clock on the wall says, it's time for us to leave you now. But we'll be back again next week. And until then, please join us as we go out to live out our pro-life right now.